You realize the devil is after your thoughts. And the way you think eventually becomes your life. It becomes who you are. And God wants to feed your mind with truth. He loves you. He cares about you. He sees you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to live a righteous life. He has a purpose for your life. You're a child of God. Your soul belongs to him. The devil doesn't want you to be, the devil doesn't want you to get those kinds of thoughts at all. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. We're starting a new message series today called 21. Anybody need a miracle in their life? Anybody need God to do something in 2026? Anybody need God to move a mountain? You need to slay a giant? You need God to help you out in your health situations? You know, we have a big God who can do anything. I think much of our journey with God is about learning to walk by faith. Much of our journey with God is learning to cry out to him. Much of it. So you are in this perfect place because over these next 21 days, we're going to be crying out to God, and I know God hears our prayers. We're going to talk about prayer and fasting today. I thought, how appropriate. We're like selling burritos for youth ministry, and we're going to talk about prayer and fasting today. I think it's a good thing to do. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17. This is where we're going to start. This is in the gospel, and it's a story about a dad who has a son who's possessed by a demon. And this dad is just like any father is concerned about his son, because that's what many dads are, right? We're concerned about our son, try to take or his daughter. And he brings his son to the disciples and say, hey, disciples, can you help out my son? He's in a bad shape and they can't do anything. And then he turns to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, can you help out? So here's the story here. Verse 14 says this. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Jesus, falling on his knees before him. Have you ever been desperate for God? Like, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm just desperate for him. Falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. So this person, this young man who's possessed by this demon, is living in his own private hell. Maybe that's where you're at right now. This guy has his own private battle. Have you ever had a private battle nobody knows about, not even the people sitting by you? Your thoughts, the things you do at night, the things you look at, the people you run with, whatever it is. This guy has his own private hell. He's spiritually oppressed. He's spiritually tormented. He's in a dark place, and it's so bad he wants to hurt himself. Maybe some of you know what that's like. You want to cut yourself. You want to do things to your body. You put yourself, throwing yourself into a fire. That's what he's doing. He's throwing himself into a fire. Maybe the idea is, I just want to numb the pain inside of me. Have you ever been so hurt on the inside that you don't care what happens on the outside? That's where this guy's at. He's like, nobody can help me, and I'm tired. And now he went to the disciples. The dad went to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything. And this guy now goes to Jesus, and scripture says he falls on his knees. He's a desperate brother. He's a desperate dad. And they couldn't help him out. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said, let's read it out loud. You unbelieving and perverted generation. Stop right there. So Jesus, he just like calls it all out. Then he says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. I think it's so cool how Jesus is like, bring him to me. You know, I'll take care of him. You can't take care of this one. I'll take care of him. But Jesus says these two things. He says, you unbelieving and perverted generation. What did he mean by that? Well, unbelieving means just what you might think it means. It's related to your faith. You don't have a lot of faith, meaning you're not connected really to God. Because if you knew God, you would know God can do anything. If you knew God really, you wouldn't worry about that problem. If you really knew God, you would understand his will. If you really knew God, you would know God is a God of impossible. And he's saying you're really not connected to God. Now you have to keep something in mind. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to people who call themselves Christians, church-going people, so to speak. And then he says, you're this perverted generation. What does he mean by that? In other words, you're too connected to the world. In the Bible, perverted means this, to twist throughout or distort thoroughly. It's this twisting about. The idea is you depart from an acceptable standard. And Jesus is saying, you are just too connected to the world and you really don't know God and you really don't understand what God can do. Warren Wiersbe said it like this, Jesus had given his apostles authority over Satan, but they were too weak to cast out a demon. It's like they had the position, but they didn't have the power. They had the authority, but they didn't know what was under the hood. You know what I'm saying? He's really revealing a gap, a spiritual gap. And he's saying, I know you guys have witnessed all these miracles and you've heard me teach and you've seen it all, but you're like, you know, you think you're at this level, but you're living in the shallow end. You're a big fish in a small pond. And now all of a sudden they're in a situation where they're facing a demon and they're recognizing, I don't have the strength. Too big. I was way more comfortable over here. But now when it comes to, I mean, Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6. We do not fight against flesh and blood. This is a different level. It's like you're taking a squirt gun to a street fight. And Jesus is revealing to them that worked over here, but over here, this is serious. This is major leagues. This is the league right here. You've got to be at a different place. The issue wasn't the demon. The issue was the level. That was the issue. Have you ever felt like, you know what? I'm pretty strong. And then you're in a situation and you realize I'm not that strong. Have you ever been there before? I feel like I'm pretty good. And then you give into something or whatever, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I can't believe I did that. I thought I was stronger. And we discover this, when the circumstances are just right, when it's nighttime, when I'm exhausted, when I've been hurt, when I've been wounded, when I'm discouraged, when the circumstances are just right, I can become somebody I don't want to be. I can be weaker than I thought I was. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you know, I mean, you feel me? This is, I've been there before, church. I've been there before. And Jesus is revealing this spiritual gap with these disciples, and he's saying, I know it worked over here. And so interesting, they do have authority to cast out the devil, and they thought they were like, I go to church every weekend, I know the songs, I read my Bible, and all of a sudden they're in a situation and they're recognizing, I can't do it. I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes. And here's what Jesus says in verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Why do we go to someone privately? It's because we don't want anyone else to hear the answer, right? Maybe we're even a little bit embarrassed, ashamed, maybe a little bit. So it's like, I just between you and me. You know what I mean? I don't want everyone to hear this response. It's so interesting. It's in the bestseller and everybody reads it now. But then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? Have you ever prayed for something and nothing happened? Have you ever asked God to help you with something and nothing happened? Have you ever asked God for a miracle and nothing happened? Verse 20, and Jesus said to them this, because of the littleness of your, what? Faith. Now, I think this is important because up to this point, I think the disciples felt like they had pretty good faith. They were casting out demons, and they had authority, and they had, there were these miracles and all this. And if I ask you, do you have pretty good faith? I'm guessing most of you would say yes. But what if you're in a situation like the disciples, and the disciples were like, whoa, I thought I was here, but there's this harsh reality check. I'm not only not here, I'm really more like here. And the disciples are just figuring this out right now. And Jesus says, this is because you don't have the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I feel like this is like the hardest verse to read in Colorado. I'll just tell you. This is a way better verse to read in like Nebraska or Kansas or West Texas or something like that. But when you're looking at the Rockies and you read this verse, it's hard. But then Jesus says this, but this kind does not go out except by what church? By? And this verse is only found in the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. And Jesus says, this kind, this battle that you're dealing with, this demon that you're facing, this problem that you have, I know you've tried to lick it and you can't. Here's the problem. You're not using the right weapon. Here's the problem. It's not about your might. It's about the Spirit of God. And you need to pray and fast to overcome this one. Let me say it like this one. There are spiritual battles in your life that can only be overcome with fervent prayer and fasting. You got to hear that. There are spiritual battles in your life. Whatever that battle is, for some of us, you might have been battling lust, and or maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's pride, or maybe it's greed, or anger, or hate, or maybe you're just a thief, or whatever it is, and you want to, and you don't have what it takes. You need to pray, you need to fast, you need God's Holy Spirit to help you. You can't do it on your own. And what happens is when we discover we can't do it on our own, we give up. Tried that. Tried it. Didn't work for me. Yeah, I went to church a few times. I know all about it. Not for me. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, is give up. You know that. The devil wants you to walk away from God. The devil wants you to walk away from your faith. The devil wants you to be angry and resentful and bitter. And the devil wants you to just be hurt. Anybody hurt? You're wounded. Somebody hurt you. And you've been bleeding ever since. I want you to look at this. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Great verse. Let's read it out loud because it's a good memory verse. Let's read it out loud. Call to me, and I will tell you which you do not know. Here's what God is saying here. You don't know everything. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them you don't know everything. We're going to develop arguments on the way home from church today. You're going to get in a fight right there in the church room. What do you mean? Well, you don't know anything either. Calm down. Cool the jets. God's saying, you don't know. I don't know everything. And when you cry out to God, God shows you a different perspective. When you pray, God hears your prayer. God hears your prayer. Here's the thing about prayer. If you humble yourself and seek him, let me just read 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's an important part in this verse. Then, say then with me, I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, God knows when you're playing. I'm talking to some players out there. God knows when you're playing. I'm talking to some imposters out there. Those of you who are really good at faking it, you know who you are. Where am I at? I'm at church. I'll put this hat on. Where am I? I'm running with my boys. I'll put this hat on. Where am I at? I'm at home. I'll put this hat on. I'm at work. You know what I'm talking about? When you authentically turn to God, and this is a beautiful promise, if you humble yourself and say, God, I need you. Have you ever been desperate for God? I recognize how badly I need you. And you humble yourself. I talked to you about this already. Humbling yourself is complete opposite from pride. Pride is when you think you're a little bit better than everybody else around you. Christians can have pride too. You know what their name was? Pharisees. They didn't need another Bible study. They didn't need another podcast. They're full of themselves. But if you humble yourself and you pray and you seek God's face and you turn from your wicked ways, that means, God, I want your blessing more than this sin. Here's the truth for most of us, for a lot of us maybe. We don't turn to God because we're enjoying our life of sin way too much. I'm going to wait till it gets really bad because right now I'm really enjoying this gig. I'm really enjoying this life. I'm really enjoying all these self-indulgent sins that I'm doing. You just don't want God enough. That's the truth. You haven't been in a situation yet. But many times God will allow the circumstances in your life all around you to fall apart, and it's his way to say, are you ready to humble yourself now? The prodigal son humbled himself, and he came to his senses when he was feeding a bunch of pigs. That's when he humbled himself. But when he had all the money, and when he was partying hard, and sleeping with all the women, and he had everything he wanted, there was no urgency to turn to God. But when it ran out, and his clothes smelt like pig and poop, that's when he said, what am I doing? Turn to God right now while you have breath. Isn't it a blessing you have breath in your lungs right now? Isn't it a blessing you have breath in your lungs right now? That's God's grace over your life. That's God's grace. While you're in church, why let the devil rob another minute of your life? The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. Who are you listening to? Samuel Chadwick, I love what he said about prayer. He said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion, and a prayerless church. Throw that in there. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Wouldn't it be, yeah, hallelujah. You know what my prayer is, guys? During these 21 days when we come together, the devil's like, oh, crap, Thorn Creek Church is coming together. That's my prayer. My prayer is that we witness miracles of God in our home during these 21 days. That's where I'm at right now, guys. I drank the Kool-Aid, and that's where I'm at. Let's talk about fasting a little bit, because Jesus said, this kind requires prayer and fasting. Now, the beautiful thing about prayer is we learn to humble ourselves. And it's not just lip service. Remember, Jesus told the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. It's about humbling yourself, having a heart of repentance, and saying, God, I need you. And prayer is a beautiful thing, because we always think, oh, prayer is about what God can do for me. That's when we're just consumer-driven people. I'll go to that church if they have good programs for me. I'll go to that church if I'm out in 59 minutes. I'm good at that. You know what I'm saying? That's not us. I'll just tell you that right now. But when you pray, you learn the heart of God. You change. You learn to hear God when you pray. And then there's this peace that comes over you, peace that surpasses all understanding, because then you realize it's not about God opening doors for you, but it's also about God closing doors too. It's also about, no, now is not the right time. And as you walk with God and you spend time in his word and you go to church, the other thing that happens is you start praying according to the will of God. Not according to your will, but you say, God, what do you want? And you just learn the heartbeat of God. It's something that you learn to do as you throw yourself into God. Jesus said, this kind requires prayer and fasting. What's fasting? This is all next level stuff, guys. I'm taking you to another league right here, guys. Fasting is this, choosing to go without food or drink or both for a period of time. Now, I know a lot of us go to the doctor. When you have lab work, you got to fast. I get that. And I know that's what fasting is. Scriptural or spiritual Christian fasting is different. The Bible defines fasting as the voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes, such as seeking God, showing devotion, expressing remorse, gaining spiritual clarity, emphasizing humility, and reliance on God over self. It's one of the things human beings can do to be unselfish, to unplug from this world, to say, God, I want you more. It's one of the things we can do. Because, I enjoy food. I like fish tacos. I like Cajun food. I like crawfish etouffee. I like all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, when I say no, I'm not going to eat that because I'm going to dedicate myself to God. I'm telling my body, I want God more than my physical life. My spiritual life is more important than my physical life right now. That's what you're doing. And you do it for a purpose. This particular quote, you do it for maybe, you know what, God, I want you in my life. I need more of you. Or maybe you want to show your devotion to God. God, I want you to know that nobody else matters more than you, God. Or maybe you've messed up and you know you've messed up. You're down the wrong road and it's your way of turning to God, repenting. It's your way of getting right with God and you're sorry for your sins and you're like, okay, I'm going to fast to show God that I really am genuinely sorry for what I have done. Or gaining spiritual clarity. Maybe you're facing a job situation or maybe it's a relationship or whatever it is and you're not sure where to go. So you're going to fast and you're going to say, God, give me spiritual clarity. And whatever thing you do, you need to do it with humility and reliance on God. The Bible gives a lot of examples of people who fasted. You have Moses who fasted, King David, Daniel, Esther, Nehemiah, Elijah, Ezra, the people of Nineveh, and Jesus, of course, and Anna, a prophetess, and Saul, Paul the apostle, and also the early church. And I want you to understand something. Fasting is not a requirement. The Bible doesn't say it's a requirement for someone who's a Christian. You need to hear that. And the Bible doesn't say not fasting is a sin. The Bible doesn't say that either. But you know what the Bible makes really clear is this. People who hungered for God's presence, power, and purpose were also people who prayed and fasted. That was part of their spiritual disciplines. So you see that. There's a track record. There's history of people who really needed God to intervene in their life. They really needed God to move in their life. They learned to pray and they learned to fast as well. People who hungered for God. Look at the power of fasting. Isaiah, the prophet, says it like this. This is what God says. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness. To undo the bands of the yoke. And to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Fasting is like prayer on steroids. Fasting is next level stuff. If you're battling something and you feel like I am in a spiritual, I'm in a spiritual vice grip. This thing has a hold on me and I'm just got this thing has a scissor lock on me and I cannot free it. I am in chains over this thing. Fasting, the power of fasting, it can break those bonds of wickedness. Glory to God. I cannot be set free from this addiction. I've tried on my own efforts. I can't do it. I cannot get away from this. You fast and pray, and all of a sudden you're calling on God and the Holy Spirit to work in your life in a next level, new way. Bill Bright, who's the founder of a great college ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, he said, fasting and prayer is a powerful means for causing the fire of God to fall again in a person's life. I'm talking to some of you who feel like the wood is wet. You know what I'm saying? You're here, but you're not with everybody. This is a way for you to cry out to God and for a fire to start in your life. This fire produces the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But especially the fruit of righteousness and spiritual power over the lust of the flesh and the lies of the enemy of our souls. That's the power of prayer and fasting. You know, when you look at 1 John, it tells us there's three categories for sin. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what it says. Those three categories. All of sin can be fall under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You just look, everything can fall under them. And when you fast, you disconnect. You intentionally say, no, I'm going to disconnect from those things. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me with this. What does Christian fasting look like? It's typically the abstinence of or from food, but it can also be alcohol, TV, social media, gaming, maybe even your cell phone. You hear that? Now, the traditional fasting, when the Bible talks about fasting, it's talking about an abstinence of food. There weren't a lot of cell phones around during the days of Moses and the disciples, right? But it can also mean other things. The Bible also says abstaining from sex. My Bible says, any takers on that one? I'm just curious. All right, keep going. All right. but the traditional way, abstinence from food, is saying, you know what? I know I have this craving, but I have a stronger craving for God. And I'm not gonna eat this right now. And, you know, when I fast, I just drink water. That's what I do. I just drink water. I say, okay, I'm not gonna do this. But if for some reason you have maybe some health issues or something like that, I don't want you to put your body at risk or anything like that. You could also abstain from other things like social media, and saying, you know what? I'm looking at TikTok way too much. I'm looking at Instagram a whole lot. I'm looking at Facebook a whole lot. I'm not gonna look at that. And when I have a craving to do, we're digital addictors, right? We're just used to going to our phone and scrolling. I get it. I totally get it. But you train your brain to say, no. I'm not gonna do that. Instead, I'm gonna cry out to God right now. Instead, I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to pray because I know I have this digital addiction. I know I'm going to do that, but I'm going to turn to God. The good thing about that is now you're going to have a new algorithm. Hallelujah. You're no longer going to be told what to think. You realize the devil is after your thoughts. And the way you think eventually becomes your life. It becomes who you are. And God wants to feed your mind with truth. He loves you. He cares about you. He sees you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to live a righteous life. He has a purpose for your life. You're a child of God. Your soul belongs to him. The devil doesn't want you to be, the devil doesn't want you to get those kinds of thoughts at all. A spiritual fast is different from a health fast. It's not about losing weight or cleansing your body. I know some of us are like, oh, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I know, I get it. That's the way we think. Listen, it's about dedicating yourself to God and cultivating a hunger for God's presence. I can't think of a better thing to do in 2026 than to start off for 21 days of crying out to God. Can you? You don't know what's going to happen. Cry out to God. Jesus said this about the world. He said, I've given them your word. He's saying this prayer in John chapter 17 for the apostles and for us. But he says, I've given them your word, and the world hates them because they don't belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Jesus makes this point. He's talking to those who call themselves a Christian. He says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world, right? He says, your job is to be salt and light. Your job is to influence others and point people to Jesus, point people to God. And so we have this battle as we're in this world. We are called to be salt and light. We're not called to eject out of this world. We're not called to insulate ourselves from this world. We're called to be salt and light. You're called to be a missionary where you're at, where you live, where you work, where you run, whatever it is. And fasting is taking your focus off the things of this world in order to focus more on the things of God. You have a better focus on God. You focus better on his purpose. You can hear God's voice better when you fast. Their spiritual senses are heightened when you fast. You show God repentance and humility when you fast. Fasting breaks spiritual strongholds, and it gives you a new perspective in life. A new perspective in life. How do you fast? Well, you want to fast for a specific purpose in mind. So when I fast, you know, there's something in my mind. So maybe for you, it's, okay, God, I want to know you more. So I'm just taking a step of faith, and I want my relationship to go from here to this next level. So I'm going to fast for that purpose. And just be specific. Others of you might be like, okay, I've got this problem with addiction, or I've got this dark thing. I'm battling anxiety, or I'm battling depression, or I'm battling whatever it is. I'm battling lust. So I'm going to ask God to break me free from that hold. And that's going to be the purpose of my fast. Others of you might want to fast because I got a loved one who is far from God and making terrible choices. And I'm going to fast that they come to know you, Jesus. I'm going to fast that they come to their senses, and I'm going to fast for them to know you. Or maybe you're going to make a big decision about work or life or whatever it is, or a relationship, and you're like, okay, I'm going to fast and pray. You want to blow your date away? When they say, hey, do you want to be serious? You say, well, I don't know. Let me fast and pray first. I'll let you know. I'll be like, whoa, who are you? That'll tell them a lot about your relationship with God, saying something like that. That's free dating advice right there. I don't know how many people are going to take that advice, but that's going to, Joel chapter 2. God says this, this is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there's time. Give me your hearts. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Isn't that good? You know what God is saying? He's saying, no. You don't have to show. I don't want any showing. I want internal humility. Tear your hearts. Don't tear your clothes. That's what he's saying. Tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. I think the biggest, Lord help me. Holy Spirit help me. You don't know what's going to happen in 2026. While you have breath in your lungs, turn to God. While you have breath in your lungs, turn to God. You do that right now, and your faith and your relationship with God is going to go to another level. So when you face that demon in 2026, you have the muscle mass, the spiritual muscle mass. You're equipped. You're ready to go. And you're like, that's okay. I lost my job. I'm going through this health crisis. I don't care, because my God is with me. My God is with me, and he's not going to let me down. And I've got the faith to walk through the trial. I've got the faith to walk through the pain. I've got the faith to walk through that tribulation. I don't care what it is, but you learn to walk with God now while you have breath. You turn to Jesus right now while you have breath. Don't wait for it to get worse. Turn to God right now. Don't wait anymore. When you fast, you're showing God that you're serious about wanting him. Like, for reals. For real. I need God. Maybe it's getting out of bed and getting on your knees in the morning and saying, God, I need you. I just need you, God. I just need to start right here. Oh, help me today, Lord. Why don't you do that in 2026? How about them apples? Maybe it's praying before a meal, or maybe it's before you get back into bed at night, you get on your knees again and saying, God, I need you. Maybe before you look at any feeds, you look at this feed right here. And you say, feed my soul, Lord. If you don't know where to start, look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, and just start reading. Take your time through it. Thinking different. Running with different people. I was talking to someone a little while ago. I said, who you run with, who your friends, who you surround yourself with is everything. You got to be careful. How long should you fast? The short answer is, it's between you and God. That's a short answer. It's between you and God. We're entering 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want you to hear this. I'm not implying that for 21 days, no burritos or something like that. I'm not implying 21 days, no eating. No. We're just encouraging you to fast at some point during these 21 days. Did you hear that? We're encouraging you to fast at some point during these 21 days. Maybe it's food, maybe it's social media, maybe it's gaming, maybe it's whatever. But for 21 days, at some point, fast. And it's between you and the Lord. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm gonna fast food for me, and I just drink water. But because of my schedule, I'm not gonna fast tomorrow. It starts all tomorrow. It starts tomorrow for 21 days. But I can't do tomorrow because we have our luncheon. And then on Tuesday, I got a lunch meeting with another pastor. So I can't do it, but I'm gonna start on Wednesday. So I'm just being upfront with all of you. And I'll do it for a number of days. Let me just say this too. How do you determine the number of days? When I first came to know Jesus at the age of 18, on fire, still on fire, still on fire. But I said, okay, I'm gonna fast. And I put like a big number. I said, I'm gonna fast for like 2 weeks or something like that. I just went all out, you know what I'm saying? I just went all out. I'm not gonna eat anything for 2 weeks. Well, after about 5 days, I was like, man, that fried chicken smells good. I'm just thinking. And I broke my fast. Literally, I grew up on church's fried chicken. I just broke my fast. And then I walked away feeling defeated and discouraged, and the devil used that to bring me down. You thought you were all that in a bag of chips? You ain't that. Who do you think you are? And the devil will use even sacred things, going to church, to try to bring you down. You need to understand that he's the accuser and the father of lies. You just need to, I'm trying to help you out, brothers and sisters. So instead, this is what I've learned to do. I'm gonna fast as long as I feel led to fast. That's what I've done now. So it could be, I say start small too. Maybe it's one meal if you're gonna do food. Maybe it's one meal, or maybe it's two meals, and maybe whatever it is, but just start small and just say, God, I'm gonna dedicate myself to you. I'm gonna dedicate myself to you. So be careful about going public and saying, God, I'm gonna fast for you for, you know, 20 days or whatever it is. Be careful. If that doesn't happen, then the devil uses that to bring you down. So we're just kicking the teeth out of the devil right now in the name of Jesus. We're not going to give them any opportunity to come on us. So start small. Now, social media and gaming, that's a different gig. That's not a physical urge. That's more of a digital addiction or whatever it might be. That has to do with dopamine and adrenaline and all of those things. That's a different thing. But whatever it is, be intentional. I'm going to cry out to God right now. And I'm going to intentionally do without this. So when I feel the urge to go to that, I'm going to be reminded, no. I'm going to cry out to God during this time. Here's what we're going to do. 21 days, prayer and fasting. You're going to look at this website, thorncreek.church/21 days. We want everyone to go to that website. On that website, you will see resources about prayer and fasting. Also on that website, you'll find this booklet. You can download it and check it out. The front page here is, the front cover is John chapter 7, 37 and 38, we just read. Short letter from me about prayer and fasting. And then every day, we want you here. Day one starts tomorrow, believing he is. There's scripture, there's a devotional, and then a prayer focus and a place for you to journal. We're just trying to resource you. We want to help you grow in your relationship with God. We want to help you grow in your faith. That's what this church is about. We want to help you overcome all of those demons and battles you have in life. We're trying to make you stronger. We do not fight against flesh and blood, guys. We're trying to help you. That's what you're entering right here. So you can journal right here, and we just want to resource you so you can do this. And check it out. Also, let's go to that next one. You can sign up for daily text notifications. You can scan the QR code on the screen or text. You can pull out your phone right now, guys, and text 21 days to 720-704-3200. And what will happen is every day you're going to get a devotional text from Thorn Creek Church. And our Thorn Creek staff is going to share a very short devotion with you every single day. It's like 3 minutes long or something like that. A devotion for you to help you every single day. It's so cool. You're going to hear from all the staff share a short devotion for you. We're trying to help you to do that. We've had a lot of people already sign up for that. And again, during these 21 days, you can fast for whatever the Lord puts on your heart. If it's food, maybe it's one meal, or maybe it's two meals, or maybe it's days or week, whatever it is. That's between you and the Lord. Or maybe it's social media, whatever. We just want everyone to participate in some way. You hear that? Whatever it is. You may fast multiple times at different times, whatever it is. And those who cannot fast from food may choose to fast from social media, gaming, television, or something similar. Ask God what you should do. The other thing we would encourage you to do during these 21 days is attend one of our prayer times at Thorn Creek. We have three different times. Did you know we have Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m.? You could meet with us through Zoom and pray right from where you're at. Some of you are up at 6:30 a.m. You can be in bed. It's okay. Don't put on your camera. It's all good. You can be in bed. Or maybe you're at work. We have some people in their work uniform at 6:30 a.m. Or maybe they're on a walk. Or maybe they're in the kitchen getting breakfast ready, whatever it is. We've had as many as 55 people join us on our Zoom prayers on Tuesday mornings. Isn't that crazy? So I share a short devotion, and then I pray with everyone. People type in the chat their prayer request. The whole thing lasts about 15 minutes or so. It's something really special about coming together with your church to pray in the morning. It's so beautiful. It sets the pace for the whole day. Wednesdays, we gather together right here in this room at 6 p.m. Park in the back and come on over. And that's about 45 minutes. We start at 6, end right around 6:45. We have a bucket up here, and everybody submits anything we wanted to pray for together. And I read it out loud, and we pray together. And we have a great season of prayer every Wednesday. And what time was it again? What time? 6 p.m. And then on Saturdays, we come together again at 5 o'clock. If you want to pray for the worship services, you want to pray for the anointing of God, you want to pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on all three services, Saturday at 5 p.m. Let me share with you the results of all this. Isaiah chapter 58 talks about the results of prayer and fasting. Here's the results. It says, then your salvation will come like dawn. You know what that means? Your relationship with God will be real. That means you'll know God. That means you'll know the joy of the Lord. It'll be real. It'll come like dawn. And then it says, and your wounds will quickly heal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody have wounds in their life? Anybody have had any trauma in their life? You've been abused verbally, emotionally, sexually, physically, whatever. And you're still hurting. During this time, our prayer is that your wounds will quickly heal. Glory to God. What a glorious day that is. You don't have to walk around hurt and angry anymore. Glory to God. Other people don't have to pay that price anymore. And then it says, your godliness will lead you forward. Isn't that a great 2026 line? Your godliness will lead you forward. You'll learn what it means to walk righteously, to walk humbly with the Lord. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Anybody need God to watch your back? I need God to watch my back all the time. There's evil people in this world. And then he goes on to say, then when you call, the Lord will answer. Amen. That's why we're at church, isn't it? You being at church is an admission that you need God. I need God. All of us need the grace of God in our life. All of us need the grace of God. So here's my prayer. In the coming months, we hear incredible stories during these 21 days. In fact, at thorncreek.church/21days, there's a button for you to click that tells us your story. Tell us how God is moving in your life. So you can, I'm praying and hoping that during this time, we're gonna hear stories about how the devil ran, how demons fled. I'm praying we're gonna hear stories about how I was once addicted to this and God has set me free. I once was battling this and God has set me free. I once had this relationship, but God has set me free. God has brought peace in my home. God has brought joy in my home. God has brought freedom in my spirit. I am a new person in Christ because you have turned to God and you said, God, I need you. I am praying for those kinds of miracles to happen during these 21 days. Anybody with me? Put your hands together if you're with me. Don't you need a miracle in your life? Let's don't play church. I didn't sign up for this to play church. Jesus has radically got a hold of my life and changed me. He can do the same for you. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He'll never walk out of your life. I know what it feels like to have someone walk out of my life, but he'll never walk out of your life. He's a good God. Oh, this is for people who want to go to the next level, guys. Everyone else who wants to keep a squirt gun, you can keep a squirt gun. But I'm just telling you, this is for people who want to go to the next level. And let's turn to God together as a church. I want to give you an opportunity, guys. I know this message is a little bit different because we talked about the 21 days. Don't miss next weekend, guys. I'll make sure I'm locked and loaded and ready to go, all right? Don't miss next weekend. But I want to give you an opportunity today. If the Spirit of God has been stirring your heart and you're like, man, I feel like it needs to be me. Man, I feel like I need to make that decision. I feel like I need Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention. Your part is to respond in obedience. So I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I believe God loves bold obedience. I believe God is pleased with bold obedience. So here's what I ask you to do. There's nothing better. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven that's more powerful or glorified than the name of Jesus. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to go to a cross for your sins. Your soul was worth that much. Before that, you're living an empty life without Jesus. And Jesus came to give you a full life. So it starts right now. Here's the ask. You ready? If you're ready to invite Jesus into your heart and into your life, would you stand up right now? And I'm going to say a special prayer. Anyone in the house ready? Anybody ready? Come on. Anybody ready to make that decision? Somebody standing. That's my brother in the back. Hallelujah. Way to go, brother. Fist bump right there. Stay standing up. We got somebody else. We're pointing. I can't see him. Oh, we got someone back here. Way to go, brother. Hallelujah. We got someone else standing right here. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. There's someone right there. I see you, sweetheart. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord answers prayer. What a way to start off. Stay standing. What a way to start off 2026. This is the way you kick the devil in the teeth. Stay standing up, brother. I'm going to be praying for you here in a minute. Anybody else ready to make that decision and invite Jesus into your life? Hallelujah. It's a great party in heaven when this happens. You think you've been to a party. You haven't been to a party. I'm just telling you. Here's the next ask. Anybody ready to say, Holy Spirit, fill me? Stand up right now. I need to say that prayer every day because I leak. So I need to say that prayer every day. Holy Spirit, fill me. God, thank you for your presence. And those of you who are ready to receive Jesus, would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Oh, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I recognize now how much I need you, and I want to become a Christian. So I want you to get behind the steering wheel of my life and take over. And I want to repent. I want to stop living that life. So I need your help, Jesus. I can't do this on my own. So you need to say this prayer right with everybody else. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the willpower, the might, any of that stuff. Holy Spirit, fill me. I pray that all the fruits of the Spirit are evident in every person who's standing up right now. Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, guide us, convict us, and have your way. God, I want to thank you for hearing my prayers. You know, I pray that people would stand up to receive you, and look what you do, Lord Jesus. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. You are a God who hears prayers. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins. Continue to work here. And God, I just pray for miracles to happen in every home and every heart, with every brother, every sister, man and woman, young and old. Do a miracle, God. I pray you get us back next week too, Lord, to keep going and stay on this train. May you have your way with us here, God. It's a new day. And devil, we just rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You belong under our feet in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you out of our homes and out of our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's thank God for his word. That was good. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.